you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Wears Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, this is God's Word. "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." May God grant his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I love speaking at our summer camp program, and every now and then I have the opportunity to take questions from our campers. And one of the questions that sometimes children ask is, "Where did God come from?" It's a very understandable question when you're a small child, because as a small child, you look around and you see that everything else comes from somewhere. So if everything comes from somewhere, where did God come from? But God didn't come from somewhere. God has always been. Well, how can that be? Well, the reason that it's hard to understand that is because everything else came from somewhere. Well, how can everything else have come from somewhere? Because God made everything else. The universe was created by God. And so if you look in the universe, some things are older than other things, but everything, including the universe, has a start point. But that doesn't mean that God has to have a start point. In fact, it fits perfectly, if you're reasonably intelligent and logical, that the Creator would be unlike his creation in that everything he made, therefore, has a start point, but God himself is eternal. God has always been God. So I find even little children, even preschoolers, are able to accept that. It's a challenging concept that there is one who is unlike everything else, but he is, and that's part of his holiness, his being set apart, his being different. He is in that way unlike his creation. Everything else in creation has a beginning. God doesn't have a beginning. He was there before the beginning. So everything else has a beginning, but not God. In the same way that that is true, it's very difficult for a lot of people, even adults, to try and wrap their minds around the fact that there's only one God, not three gods, not a thousand gods. There's only one God, but that one God is three persons. How can that be? Well, why do we find that difficult? Well, because everybody else is just one person per being. We think of being and person as being the same thing. One person per being. Well, yeah, that's right. But that doesn't mean that God has to be that way. The fact that God made us that way doesn't mean that God can't be God. And God has revealed himself starting all the way back at the beginning of creation, running all the way through the Old Testament, manifested very clearly here in the New Testament, and all the way through the book of Revelation, God has manifested himself as being one being, three persons. There's only one God. There are other imposters. There are other pretenders. There are demonic spirits that people worship. But there is only one who is truly God. But that one true God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now look at this passage and see that. John says of him, beginning in verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So there you've got Jesus, who is God the Son, baptizing people with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor. Notice that John is referring to Jesus, and he's speaking here in the Spirit. He's saying that the threshing floor belongs to Jesus, gathering his wheat into the barn. Jesus owns the redeemed and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Jesus has the authority to judge and to destroy his enemies. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. What an astounding thing that John says, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals, but he comes and he submits himself to baptism. Why? Had he sinned? No, he was without sin. But he was a man. God became a man. If you read John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and nothing was made without him. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't overcome it. And then down in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. God, the Word, the one who was God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus comes as a man and identifies with sinners by being baptized to fulfill all righteousness. But when he's baptized, something miraculous happens. As Jesus comes up out of the water, remember we talked about what baptism involves? You go under the water. It's a picture of what Jesus would do at the cross. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Now they had been performing baptisms long before Jesus was born, and they didn't understand. They knew it was a picture of cleansing, but they didn't understand that it was a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That understanding would come later. The Apostle Paul writes about that. Just in the same way, they had, for generations, been celebrating Passover, not understanding what it was a picture of. Jesus would explain to his disciples, this bread that's broken is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is my blood, which is poured out for you. This is the new covenant. So they were engaged in these pictures of Jesus without understanding what it meant until after Jesus came and did what he came to do. There are hope, it's secure, do not fear anymore. Folks, as you know, we do not do a lot of giveaways on this broadcast. We do not do a lot of fundraising on this broadcast. Our goal, day after day, is to bring you biblical teaching. But this month, we're giving away something besides the gospel. Actually, it includes the gospel because it's a beautiful recording by the Gettys, and we want to send it to you as a gift in thanks for those of you who sign up to be monthly givers to Ware's Valley Ranch. I hope that many of you who enjoy this broadcast will support Ware's Valley Ranch with your prayers and with your gifts. If you want to know more about the ranch, go to the website, wvr.org. You've been hearing on this month's broadcasts some bumper music by the Gettys. They are tremendous musicians and worship leaders, and I want to encourage you to get a copy of this CD, which is the Gettys Kids CD. It's wonderful. We've used it here at the ranch, and I've enjoyed it personally, and I just want to encourage you to contact the ranch, become a monthly giver. Your gift of $10 or more to the ranch will cause us to send you one of these. Now, if you say, well, I'm already a monthly giver, can I get one of these CDs too? Yes, you can. We're glad to send it. Just request it. I do need to tell you that because we're a 501c3 charitable organization, your gifts are tax deductible to the extent that they exceed the fair market value of goods that you receive from the ranch in return for your gift. The fair market value of the Getty Kids hymnal is $10. So please let us hear from you. It means a lot to know that you are not only listening, but you're praying for us and that you want to help us help the children.
I will not fear when darkness falls. His strength will help me scale these walls. I'll see the dawn of the rising sun. The Lord is my salvation.
When Jesus comes up out of the water, something miraculous happens. It says, at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Who is speaking from heaven? It's the Father. So you have God the Father saying of Jesus, this is my Son, and the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove and lighting on him. Now, there are people who say, well, you know, the word Trinity is nowhere to be found in the Bible. Yeah, that's true. But that doesn't mean that the Trinity as a doctrine is not clearly taught in Scripture. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But the fact that there is only one God, not three gods, and that he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that much is very, very clear in Scripture. And if you reject that truth, then you're rejecting God's revelation of himself. Is God the Father God? Yes, absolutely. Is God the Son God, or is he less? It says here, this is my Son. So does that make him less? No. Does it make him separate? No. If you read the rest of Scripture, it becomes very clear that the Father and the Son are one. How can they be two persons and one being? Okay. You remember how God has always been? Everything else has a starting point. God is three persons, one being. So whereas in our relationships, we can get really close, it's different with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because Jesus isn't just a lot like God. Jesus is God. When his enemies were arguing with him. They said, "You're not older than Abraham, are you? You'd have to be crazy to think you're older than Abraham. I mean, for goodness sake, you're like, what, in your 30s? Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now, if we were talking about age, I'd want Jesus to say, "Before Abraham was, I was. I've been around longer than Abraham." But Jesus was going way beyond that. Jesus was taking the name of God, which is Yahweh, which means I am that I am. And he was applying that to himself. Before Abraham was, I am. He has always been. As he prays his high priestly prayer in John's gospel, Jesus says, "Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began." Do you get that? Before the world began, Jesus was glorified with the Father. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Our minds don't work that way. We are here in a series of snapshots that make up kind of a linear view of time. But God is eternal. And God is the Father. And God is the Son. And God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not less than God. He is God. God the Holy Spirit, spoken of that way in the Old Testament and the New. It becomes clearer and clearer as the revelation unfolds. But all the way back at the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. So, in this passage, we see very, very clearly God the Father saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." And what's happening in that moment is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is descending like a dove and lighting on him. If you read in John's gospel, you will find Jesus saying, "It is to your advantage that I go to be with the Father, because that way I'm able to send the Holy Spirit to come and do his work in you." But then Jesus goes on from there to say, "I will come to you." Now, wait a minute. I thought you were sending the Holy Spirit. You're going back to the Father, that's what you said, and you're going to send the Holy Spirit. Why would you then say, "I will come to you"? They are one. They're not parts. They are one. That's hard to grasp. Why? Because everybody else is one person per being. Well, prayerfully try to wrap your mind around it. God has revealed that in this way, he is not like his creation. He is one being, three persons. If you find it hard to comprehend, that's fine. But if you reject what God reveals in his word about his nature, that's not fine. So you say, I find this hard to understand. No problem. But if you say, "No, it's either got to be three gods or one God. And if it's one God, then it's not, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is somehow less than God. He's got to be." There are people today who are trying to make that case in order to try and build a bridge to Islam. You understand? There are people today who are trying to say, "We need to stop claiming that Jesus is God, because it's really off-putting to people in Judaism and to people in Islam." Well, let me tell you again. Read John's gospel. The first thing he wants you to know about Jesus is that Jesus is God. I already recited it for you, but you can go read it for yourself. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word" what? "The Word was God." He's God. Here's the astounding part. Here's where this gets even more amazing. God is not only Father and Son, but He's Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. So when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, or we talk about the Holy Spirit living in us, who are we talking about? We're talking about God. We're talking about Almighty God living His life in and through us. Now try and process that for a minute. The Holy Spirit, who comes to take up residence in the life of the believer and to live the life of Christ through the believer, that same Holy Spirit is God Almighty. God living His life through you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't just have an instruction manual, your Bible. The author of life, the author of Scripture, the author of our salvation has come to live in you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's why whatever you have to go through, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be intimidated. Apart from Him, I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. So if you're all focused on, I don't know how I'm supposed to, after all, I'm just a man. I'm not just a man. I'm a follower of Jesus, and He lives in me, and He is sufficient when I am not. His power is made perfect in my weakness. So the fact that I can do nothing on my own is not of great consequence. I need to bear in mind that I cannot do this on my own, but I also need to bear in mind that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The doctrine of the Trinity is not some weird esoteric thing only for people who would like to, I don't know, go to seminary or something. No, this is a precious truth for all followers of Jesus. We need to know that the one we're following is not just close to God, He is God. And as a result of His having died on the cross to pay the penalty that we deserve for our sin, and having conquered death, rising again on the third day, He now has fulfilled His promise and sent His Holy Spirit to fill and empower all of His followers. And so we are commanded in Scripture to be being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That is to say, your life is to be yielded to and controlled by God Himself. My life is under new management. I belong to Him. And He lives His life through me. Do I still have some things where I need to grow and change? Yes. But that will not happen as I rely on myself. The Bible does not say, do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh and you will be filled with the Spirit. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The way to overcome sin is to yield to Him and depend on Him. And the one you're yielding to is God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.